Well, good afternoon, everybody, and we are continuing on the next day. It is still letter 8 in letters on occult meditation. Then it's all about, it's all about the masters. So we are on the letter that was given on September 14th, 1920. And we'll simply continue program 51, page 259. So we're getting near the point where there's about 100 pages left in this book. Not an easy book. Who are the masters? Okay. that's a great question. And one that is answered differently in different books and in different writings, answered often erroneously. As DK says, bringing the whole subject down to the level of cheap comedy. Well, we can rely upon the idea that that's not going to happen in his presentation. It might be of value to us to, in our consideration of the subject of access to the masters via meditation, if we started dealing, if we started with a few fundamental concepts dealing with the masters and their place in evolution. We've been told that the masters are often amused by the manner in which their students overestimate them. We will therefore take up our first point. We shall thus bring before the readers of these letters some idea as to their status, their comprehensive development, and their methods of work. Needless to say, much will follow which carry nothing new in import. The things that concern us most closely and the things that are to us the most familiar are often the most frequently overlooked and the most nebulous to our reasoning faculty. So we will be emphasizing the important things, whether or not they are familiar. A master of the wisdom is one who has undergone the fifth initiation. Well, that is commonly and widely understood. That really means that his consciousness has undergone such an expansion that it now includes the fifth or spiritual kingdom. And from the so-called top of that kingdom, he has worked his way through the four lower kingdoms, and of course the emphasis has to be upon that word worked, as it is a struggle to rise evolutionarily. I'm just going to bring this strongly into relief. It's the major statement. So he has worked his way through the four lower kingdoms, the mineral, the vegetable, the animal, and the human, and has, through meditation and service, expanded his center of consciousness till it now includes the plane of spirit, the plane of spirit in some of these definitions is the monadic plane. So certainly if the monad has a more direct access at the fourth degree through the destruction of the causal body, it has an even more direct access to the master at the fifth degree. So it includes, it includes the plane of spirit. This does not mean that he is yet polarized in the monad. Not yet. Okay. Okay. A master of the wisdom, I mean, you know, and lords of compassion are also in their own way masters of the wisdom, and masters of the wisdom are lords of compassion. But there is a distinction in that perhaps the lord of compassion has built into his consciousness more of the energy of love and less of the energy of manas, and vice versa for the master of the wisdom. And there are some, of course, beings who are both. I mean, the Christ is certainly both a master of the wisdom and a lord of compassion. So a master of the wisdom is one who has effected the transfer of polarization from the three atoms of the personal life, as included in the causal body, and note that they are, these atoms are found at the base of the egoic lotus, the lower part of it, into the three atoms of the spiritual triad. And this transference, I suppose, is occurring particularly or is completed at the time of the destruction of the causal body. Let us say the transference is completed at the time of the destruction of the causal body. He is consciously spirit, intuition, abstract mind, or Atma Buddhi Manas, and let's just say here, spirit is associated with the Atmic plane and not exclusively with the monadic plane. So he is consciously, and this is the point, that he is consciously so, rather than having an occasional influential flow from this area, he is polarized in the spiritual triad. So I'm going to bring this home to our attention. Consciously, Atma Buddhi Manas. And this is not potentially, but in full effective power, maybe most effective upon the abstract mental plane and the Buddhic plane, and with growing effectiveness upon the Atmic plane. But this is not simply a growing potential, but it occurs in full effective power, released, realized through experience. And this has been brought about, as earlier said, through the process of meditation. We might say the master becomes so through largely through meditation. He's really giving us definition after definition. The complete mastery of a master is over the lower three worlds, but he has effective power upon the planes of the triad. And maybe once he is polarized within the monad on the second subplane, he will have the kind of relationship to the personality of the monad, which is the spiritual triad, as he now has to the personality in the lower three worlds. Complete mastery. A master of the wisdom is one who has found not only the cord of the ego, but the full cord of the monad, and can ring the changes, therefore at will, upon all the notes, from the lowest to that of the monadic note. Basically, when dealing with the three highest types of monad on the logoic plane, we're dealing with the notes C for the first ray, F for the third ray, and blue or indigo for the second ray. The following. And that's what we call in music an ending or a cadence coming to a conclusion. So this means occultly that he has now developed the creative faculty and can sound the note for each plane and build thereon, and naturally for each subplane. So, you know, these notes will be sounded, I suppose, not through some kind of vocal apparatus, but in consciousness, mentally, or maybe in the higher correspondence to what we call imagination. Right now, many of us are working on finding the note of our soul, which is equivalent to finding the ray and the color of our soul. We are not certain, perhaps, of what that soul sound may be, that soul note. Then how much more exalted is this finding of the monadic tone, which completes the chord, the full chord of the monad. And when you can sound those notes and creatively build upon them, you have a very creative role to play and can be a full creator within a certain sphere of activity. So this means that he has now developed the creative faculty and can sound the note for each plane and build thereon. So we are learning that the master also is a creative builder. This power, first to discover the notes of the monadic chord, and secondly to use these notes in constructive building, is first realized through meditation, occultly performed, balanced by service, lovingly administered. We're still people like ourselves in the process of this discovery, and maybe we can make some experiments with outward or inwardly imagined sounds. So outward sounds, even playing certain intervals and chords on a keyboard. Or holding such chords in the imagination. So there is this mastery of sound, and with it probably goes the mastery of color and the mastery of the utilization of certain forms and the ability to use certain mantras in a way which is safe and wise and fulfills the need of the moment. You know, we're collecting now a summary of all the things that a master is, all the things that a master can do. A master of the wisdom is he who can wield the law in the three worlds and can dominate all that evolves on those planes. Whereas maybe, you know, he's not dominating all that evolves in the world of the spiritual triad. Okay, so perhaps he does not, and the word is dominate, all that evolves upon the planes of the spiritual triad. By learning the laws of the mind through the practice of meditation, he expands the laws of the mind till they embrace the laws of the universal mind as demonstrated in lower manifestation. So he, basically what he's saying is not a cosmic demonstration, but a cosmic influence in lower worlds. So the fifth ray, the fifth sign Leo, the fifth ray coming through Leo, the fifth initiation, all of these have to do with the laws of the mind. And we might say that the atmic plane whereon the master is increasingly polarized is an expression on the cosmic physical plane of universal mind on the cosmic mental plane. So the atmic plane on the cosmic physical plane is an expression of the influence of universal mind on the cosmic mental plane. The laws of the mind are mastered in meditation. They are applied in the life of service which is the logical outcome of true knowledge. So basically, both meditation and service are needed to make a master. Well, we do want to know how we get there, don't we? We want to know what path we must follow, undertakings are necessary. It can be a long time before mastership is achieved, but when you think about it, the now Chohan Jesus achieved the fourth degree in the early centuries. We now call it AD. And in the very next incarnation through Apollonius of Tyana, who it would seem was one of his students, lending his vehicle to the Arhat Jesus, Jesus achieved mastership. It was a short time, relatively. Sometimes DK says, okay, you are the fourth and the fifth initiation do go together. Sometimes he tells us the third and fourth go together. Then he tells us the third, the second, third, and fourth usually go together. Page 84 and 85 of Letters of Initiation, Human and Solar, which makes one think of Milarepa's accomplishment, which was astonishingly rapid, it seems. It seems that this great yogi saint of Tibet had achieved the fifth degree, but we know that in the beginning he was basically working on the second. So, as often stated, the time equation is in our hands. So the laws of the mind are mastered in meditation, and they are applied in the light of service when we have true knowledge and not just glamorous, illusory knowledge. We see the immediate necessity of applying that knowledge in service. Further definitions, you know, one after another. But I think we'll all agree that certain details are being added which are illuminating, no matter how much we think we may know about the subject. A master of the wisdom is he who has passed out of the hall of learning into the hall of wisdom, which certainly must include triadal experience, and not just the opening of the sacrifice petals of the egoic lotus. This must include triadal experience, because in a way we begin to enter this hall of wisdom when the fifth petal of the egoic lotus is completely open and when we're working in the seventh, in the mental tier. But those are the petals of initiation. And with that entry comes into the fifth kingdom of nature and into the hall of wisdom. He has there graduated through its five grades, and we could call them, you know, the five initiations, and has transmuted lower mind into mind pure and unalloyed. Lower mind wedded to particular concrete forms no longer. When there are particulars to which The desire nature is attached, and particulars to which the mind nature is attached. It's not transmuted mind. It's not pure mind, unalloyed. So this is more the mind of the spiritual triad. He has transmuted desire into intuition. There is always a connection between those two faculties, and has irradiated his consciousness with the light of pure spirit. Pure spirit is probably the monad, but the atmic plane is also called the spiritual plane. The discipline of meditation is the only way in which this can be accomplished. So basically what DK is doing, he's offering us many worthy objectives. And then stating definitively that only meditation can achieve these objectives. However, naturally, the service angle goes along with that. As a matter of fact, and you may remember that he had at one point said that we can accomplish more through service than we even can through meditation. A master of the wisdom is he who, through knowledge acquired by means of the five senses, we would say, you know, Taurus is involved very much in this, Taurus, Venus. Has learnt that synthesis exists and has merged these five senses into the synthetic two. And not looking ahead, but just imagining the common sense and the esoteric sense, maybe. Those are the way the climaxing senses, at least in relation to the normal five senses, are often denoted. The common sense and the esoteric sense. So he has understood that all of this knowledge gathered really does fundamentally exist in a synthesis of which he can become aware. And he has merged the five senses into their union in the common sense, which is the mind, and into the esoteric sense, which is intuitively active and can see the wholeness of things. Into the synthetic two that mark the point of attainment in the solar system. I'm not sure that all of us yet possess this esoteric sense, though certainly when we work with Master DK in this way, we work with a common sense. Through meditation, the geometrical sense of proportion is adjusted, and with it, you know, comes humility. Humility, not that. Libra and an adjusted sense of right proportion. Through meditation, the geometrical sense of proportion is adjusted. The sense of values is clearly recognized. We, you know, begin to put first things first and the essential above the secondary. And through that adjustment and recognition, illusion is dispelled and reality is known. So, what can we say to rid ourselves of illusion? We need proportion and a correct sense of values, apparently. Probably there are many things we need to do that, and in the book Glamour World Problem, some of these are given in a preliminary way, 7 different types of illusion and maybe how to correct them. So meditation, he continues to list the various ways that meditation helps us to achieve high states of consciousness and energetic ability. Through meditation, the geometrical sense of proportion is adjusted. Yes. And the sense of values is clearly recognized. And through that adjustment and recognition, illusion is dispelled. Well, I think the true dispelling of illusion lies ahead of us. So many of us are still working on vestigial glamours, but we're getting into the field where illusion is recognized as a problem. And it usually has to do with a separative mind and a lack of a unifying mind, and certainly a lack of synthesis. The practice of meditation and the inner concentration there brought about awakens the consciousness to the value and true use of form. And thereby, so these are, these dealt with it, the use of forms in meditation to achieve certain high results. So the practice of meditation and the inner concentration there brought about awakens the consciousness to the value and the true use of form. We need to see the world symbolically. There's quite a difference in looking at something in its strictly utilitarian mode and then, on the other hand, being able to connect it with higher meanings. Maybe it's not something we so often do and have to apply ourselves to do more frequently. Thereby, reality is contacted and the three worlds can no more ensnare. We say we work within them, but they do not hold us. A master of the wisdom is he who knows the meaning of consciousness, of life, and of spirit. Well, you know, what does he mean by these words? Sometimes life means vitality, sometimes it means being itself. Sometimes spirit represents the highest type of energy found within the spiritual triad, and sometimes it means the monad. So we have to understand what he means. Normally, the triplicity goes life, quality, appearance. With life representing either the source of vitality or being itself. Quality applying to the soul world, but it would still apply to the triadal world where there are diverse qualities, a ninefold choice, as we're told on page 177 of a treatise on cosmic fire, and appearance. You know, how do these forms, these arrangements, these relationships manifest through the atomic levels of matter on the lower planes? The master of the wisdom is he who knows the meaning of consciousness, of life, and of spirit. He can pass by the line of least resistance straight to the bosom of his Father in heaven. So this is suggesting, this is at least suggesting monadic contact, if not monadic polarization within the temple of Ezekiel. The approach to the line of least resistance, the direct path, is found through the practice of meditation, which must reveal the ray line along which approach is to be made. We do, you know, want to bark up the right tree of life. We don't want to be barking up the wrong tree. I guess it's dogs and cats, but I've seen them get along very well, you know. Some of those cross-species animal friendships are astonishing. I just saw one the other day. Somehow they're heartwarming. They're so unifying. It was a little puppy and a parrot, and they both, and also the mother dog was involved in it as well, and they all seemed quite inseparable and affectionate with each other. And you would think, how can such a thing be? They are so different. Perhaps those friendships, those relationships augur well for more conscious friendships and relationships later. Such as relationships between the human kingdom and the Deva kingdom, maybe based upon earlier relationships in the animal kingdom. So we're not yet masters, and do we then not know the meaning of consciousness, of life, and of spirit? They seem to be distinguished from each other. And they're used in a different order than usually presented. Now, there are some people who, in describing reality, always put consciousness first. They say that the ultimate reality is consciousness. I've always felt that consciousness is derived from pure being. But all of that has to be perhaps figured out later when we have greater facility in the higher worlds. Okay. He certainly does have quite a look at this list. We're not going to easily finish this list, which goes up to page 265, maybe not in this program. But at least we have the trend. And we're adding detail after detail concerning the master and his abilities. A master of the wisdom is he who has resolved himself from the five into the three, and from the three into the two. Now this is numerological, geometrical. He has become the five-pointed star, which from one perspective, given in cosmic fire, gives us Sat, Chit, and Ananda, and Nama, and Rupa. Sat, Chit, Ananda, Nama, Rupa. Only the upper point remains alone. There are two points found in the world of form and materiality and manifestation, and two forms found, or two types of energies found on the level of mind. But then the point representing the being is alone. So he has become, from being the, in a way, the five-pointed star of the soul, he has become the spiritual triad. He's also become the threefold monad, and he's also become the great duality of spirit-matter. And eventually, there will be resolution into the one, but perhaps not just yet. Some still higher initiatory achievements loom ahead in order for that to be achieved. He has become the five-pointed star, and when that moment is reached, he sees that star flash out above the one initiator and recognizes it in those of equal place to his. This is the of mastership, the initiation of mastership, and at the fifth initiation, he does see the one initiator face to face and not before. I think, is it rule 9, maybe? That suggests this, Rule 9 in the rays and the initiations, the more advanced rules. At the third degree, he sees simply the star. At the fourth degree, the eye, like the Egyptian eye, beholding him. And at the fifth degree, he sees the initiator face to face. And this star flashes out above the one initiator. He has sanctified in the occult sense, not just in the question of material purification. He has sanctified the quaternary, has used it as the foundation stone upon which to erect the Temple of Solomon, the Temple of Solar Man, is another way of thinking of that. I think Manly Hall came up with that idea. So the most material aspect of our nature is the foundation stone. It is the personality, the anchor, the basis within the lower 18 subplanes. And the master is an expert in the use of that personality. Of course, he will also have a substitute for the personality which appears as a Maya Virupa, a will-created body. He has grown beyond that temple itself. The temple has been destroyed. Not yet the temple of Ezekiel. The temple of Solomon. No, I'm not getting it. Temple of Solomon has been destroyed in the experience of the master, and the temple of Ezekiel looms ahead, and its destruction will also come when the time is right, and maybe when one is moving into the seventh initiation. So his the master's relationship to this anchor that gives us so much trouble because we are captivated by its impulses. The master's relationship to it is entirely different than our own. It's masterful. He has grown beyond the temple itself, into the spiritual triad, we might say, and has come to recognize it as limitation, where for us it's a great objective. He has withdrawn himself from its, this is symbolic, confining walls, and has entered within the triad, but not yet directly entered into polarization within the monad. So first the triad, I mean, when the lower three members of the atomic triangle have their substance elevated and raised up into a higher dimension at the fourth initiation, those contents are not lifted directly to the monad. They still spend time within the triad before the final lifting occurs, a kind of ascension of triadal energies into the monad. He has done this always by occult method, the occult method, and is consciously and with full knowledge of each step taken. So he's done this by occult method, that is, consciously and with full knowledge of each step taken. So he's not blundering into the higher states of consciousness. It's all laid out in an orderly manner, and he pursues the steps gradually. We make certain assessments from our present position, and later we will see the error of our ways and how much our words did not contain the actual process. But we work with what we have now. He learns the meaning of each confining form, and then he has assumed control and wielded the law upon the plane consistent with the form. So whether it's the world of abstract thought or the world of intuitions or the world of spiritual will and its various impulses, he is assuming control and is wielding the law there, though he is not entirely dominating the triad yet. In other words, I'm going to speculate there and say that the master has not entirely dominated the spiritual triad. He has then outgrown the form and he has discarded it for other and higher forms. Master Moria speaks of this, you know, hanging up the armor on the wall or whatever was used in battle for the use of others. And we have that experience with the growing child that one day the clothes just don't fit anymore. He's bursting through them. So what do? Throw them away? No, not usually. We wash them and we hand them on to someone else whose bodily form will find them useful. Thus he has progressed always by means of the sacrifice and death of the form. And that's one of those principles that, though hard to experience, is true and necessary. Always it is recognized as imprisoning. And hence, we make a connection there with the moon called the prison of the soul. The moon in your horoscope. And we just have to find the way that the moon, we are imprisoned by the thought forms associated with the moon and by the energy tendencies associated with the moon. And we have to note their actuality and whether, in fact, we have left them behind or whether those lunar tendencies are still with us at the end of life as they were at the beginning, which would certainly not be a success. Always the form is recognized as imprisoning. Always it must be sacrificed and must die so that the life within may speed ever on and up. And this tells us that we have to be sufficiently self-observant, sufficiently introspective to see the ways that the form is actually limiting us and as inner beings and what we can do about it. The path of the resurrection, and let's just say leading eventually to the seventh initiation, presupposes crucifixion and death, and then leads to the mountain of ascension, leads to the mount of whence ascension can be made, i.e., the sixth initiation, the true ascension, Master DK tells us. In meditation, the value of the life and the confines of the form can be appreciated and known. In other words, in meditation, we really see things as they are. And by knowledge and service, can the life be set free from all that limits and trammels. Knowledge comes in meditation, and service also liberates, and thus the inner God is set free from the confines of form. Do we have that sense? That increasingly we are set free from the confines of form. Sometimes the form, you know, when you get older, life, the form closes in on you. And as DK somewhat humorously says, the body begins to creak a bit. And that's just something that we've lived through forever, you know, and have to live through, because always with respect to forms, there are beginnings, middles, and endings. With respect to being and the existence of one's own ongoing continuous selfhood, there are no beginnings, middles, and ends. If you don't have a beginning and you don't have an end, you can't have a middle. Or maybe we could look at it in a different way and say we're always positioned at the middle between two infinitudes. So let's see here. You know, I think we have enough. It's been a while, as you know, since I've been able to make these programs, and I could plow on here, but I feel that I will keep this closer to an hour in length, and then just maybe spend a few minutes adding the remaining statements. But, you know, quality after quality, ability after ability, location after location, point of tension after point of tension, we're learning about the nature of the master. Now, maybe we knew all this to a degree, but it never hurts to know it in a deeper way than hitherto. And I'm certainly finding that that is the case. We are on page 262, and we're in program number 51. And it's just been a few pages. But now I'll copy this and go down to the place which will help me orient when I, you know, facing the east, facing the sun. That's what orientation is. The sun rises in the east. And this is 27th of November, and we've gone to page 262. After learning all, or some of the many things that a master is. And of course, it's going to need review, will it not? It's not that it just pops into our mind and we just can spout it at any time without deeply assimilating it. So, you know, I hope before long to be done with this particular wonderful book And when I say done, I just mean, you know, like an initial pass to stimulate thought. Because as we read from the Tibetan, we don't just want to absorb without correlating. We want to assimilate. This involves, in the field of the mind, making connections, correlating, so that eventually different lines of light appear than we have been used to noting. And something new arises because of the accumulations which have been assimilated. It's in those somethings new that the unsuspected knowledge may arise intuitively. And we have to be grateful. DK tells us, page 203, 204 in Esoteric Psychology 1, that basically by a very close study of the teaching, it becomes something more than just words. What does it become? It becomes, it leads to the intuition, basically, is what happens. And something new arises for us. And our study, well, what does it say here? The student, I better show you, hadn't I? Not that you can really see so very well through indigo darkly, almost indigo anyway. The student on this ray is ever unsatisfied with his highest attainments, no matter how great his knowledge. His mind is still fixed on the unknown, the beyond, and on the heights as yet unscaled. And then this very important statement: the characteristic method of approaching the path upon for this type would be by close and earnest study of the teachings till they become so much a part of the master's consciousness as no longer to be merely intellectual knowledge, but a spiritual rule of life, thus bringing in intuition and true wisdom. So, you know, if we say, well, what's the use of all this study? It does lead to the opening up of a higher faculty and lines of light hitherto unsuspected do flash forth. And we become increasingly illumined, you know, emulating in a way the Buddha, who for our type of humanity is the completely illumined one with a touch of the cosmic mental plane. The Christ has his own form of illumination involving the cosmic astral plane. Okay, well, then that will be sufficient for this moment, and maybe a little later this evening I'll be able to go on, I'm not sure. Today, the 27th of November, and we'll be starting on program 52, which will take us a little farther into what a master is. And then we'll be talking about access to the great ones, a subject of deep interest to everyone, but a subject still fraught with glamour, because the personality gets involved, and it's the personality that wants access to the master, and oftentimes for ambitious reasons. So, lots of love, everybody, from all of us on the communications team, within the communications group, and we will persist in offering our thoughts about the Tibetan's golden words. And we'll see you soon.